Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren for WFIU, WTIU News, and I'm with Brandon Sackbun in Terre Haute. Hello, welcome.
Well, we made it through that eclipse, right?
Survived.
It's good to see you again, Joe.
I mean, did you survive? Did the city survive?
The city did. So we did really well. We are still going through the total number of visitors. Anecdotally, I spoke with folks from Belgium, Scotland, Japan, as well as a myriad of states within the United States of America. One really important piece that I think Terre Haute did well compared to other communities, we were very spread out in terms of our events, right? So yes, we had a downtown event that was, some are saying 5,000 to 7,000. We should have those total numbers here soon. But we had a ton of smaller events within our parks system between the city and county that was averaging 1,500 to 1,000 people at each event, plus some other neighborhood, church, block party type eclipse, you know, viewing events. All collectively, we'll add those numbers up to see what it looked like from a community's perspective. But that actually helped us out because when it came to traffic and leaving, we were all able to link into main thoroughfares at different through different side roads. So that was good in terms of a public safety standpoint.
What was it like for you personally to see not only the eclipse, but just to see a community, a city, a town, a state, I mean, the country come together under something that's cosmic?
Yeah, you know, it's really fun to see that sense of community, right? Folks from all generations are on the sidewalk, in their front lawn, looking at this eclipse. And, you know, our downtown has had a great last couple of weeks between Indiana State University's NIT run and several downtown festivals for that university. Now the eclipse. So downtown Terre Haute has kind of been on like a 2 to 3 week hot streak. Thousands of people coming together on Wabash Avenue, really bringing back that downtown feel in the city of Terre Haute. I think what's more interesting is whether it was up at Indianapolis and Carmel, what Mayor Sue Finken was doing, and Mayor Carrie Thompson, what she was doing in Bloomington, and even me, we were all looking at this through, you know, you can learn so much through what these other mayors are doing when it comes to really problem sets like this. You know, I took a very public safety and tourism approach to it, right? Kind of based off my background, the military background, still being in the National Guard, I was thinking in terms of how many officers do we need? What is traffic going to look like? What's our ingress, egress routes? Then letting others in the community manage the events, the tourism, and just helping them out with marketing and communications, which is what some members of my staff did. But I took more of a street department, police, fire, and emergency management perspective. So that was really good to see in the city of Terre Haute, so many community leaders being put into positions where they can succeed in terms of their portion of the planning.
When something like this happens, and I know you just mentioned the NIT run, and you have a bunch of community members coming out and doing things, so much planning. I mean, the eclipse months, years in planning.
Yeah.
Now that you look back, is there a couple things that you thought, oh, we didn't think of that?
Yeah, you know, I really did like our digital marketing presence, right? I like how we layered it on top of other events within Terre Haute. And then moving forward, we need to look at how we market outside of Terre Haute, right? Are we purchasing, you know, radio time through a downtown or event organizer in other communities? So from an overall marketing perspective, we can always improve, right? We had about 30,000 is what I think the numbers will look like. How could we have gotten to 60? Whether it's a downtown eclipse festival or our air show that we're now trying to make changes in terms of marketing communications to, the city of Terre Haute is always in a never stop, always growing mentality. So we'll take some lessons learned and apply it there.
The bottom line too is economic development, spurring the economy in the downtown. You said that the city just went through high traffic this past month or two.
Yes.
Any numbers or anything overall?
We will see those numbers more in about 60 days when those food and beverage tax numbers when we get the final numbers. But I think what's important to note is in terms of our downtown, we are pursuing some different federal opportunities for large grants to add on to it, a complete overhaul. We've talked in previous shows about a downtown revitalization. We've seen some activity with the two hotels that are coming to downtown, a new parking garage and skywalks connecting our hotels and convention center. We are looking at some city-owned properties in downtown and working with developers just to keep that growth mindset going. There's two organizations I love to work with. The IDDC, right, and their push for tourism. We are going to do a partnership with them, and they've been very helpful when it comes to how do we look at tourism here in the city of Terre Haute with our Convention and Visitors Bureau. And then, of course, OCRA, right? You know, seeing former Mayor Bennett there and having conversations with his organization now about downtown and Main Street revitalizations and how it's impacting the Hoosier economy. That's always a good friend to have up there just to communicate and say, hey, what are other communities doing that we can look at? I think speaking with the Jasper mayor, they've got a really nice downtown push. I've seen Mayor Kerry Thompson's discussions around pedestrian safety and Kirkwood. So you're seeing these other mayors pick up some nuggets here, and we're applying that already in the city of Terre Haute. Great example, Mayor Jensen in Noblesville and their designated outdoor refreshment area, as well as other communities, have now passed a DORA. So we're looking to do a DORA in our downtown.
And it's amenities too. I mean, people want to like where they live. And so the more that happens, it's multifaceted.
It is multifaceted indeed, right? Because 40 years ago, we watched cities do this, expand out instead of upwards. Right, and that can almost put a strain over several generations in terms of infrastructure, public safety, police routine patrols, fire departments, firehouses. So now you're seeing folks look at communities like your Terre Haute's, like your Evansville's, your Bloomington's, and even your Sullivan, Indiana's, and say, okay, how can we grow a little bit up, right? What's that eat, live, work model look like in cities like Terre Haute? And that's really what we look at to capture some of those Gen Z and millennial Hoosiers and folks from outside the state who want to move in, as well as retirees who are downsizing. So blending that all together and applying it to our downtown is a huge focus of the administration.
Presidential search is bringing, or has brought, three candidates to Terre Haute. You talked to all three, right?
I did, and had longer conversations with two of them. And, you know, there was a whole search committee. There are members of the Board of Trustees who are very actively involved, even former state legislators. And I enjoyed those conversations. I really did. I think the push there is, you know, obviously enrollment, retention, and how can you develop the community, right? These students that you're bringing in for a couple of years, can we find ways to get some to stay through the private sector and some of the many businesses in town? How do we look at housing? How do we look at student housing? Blending all of this together. So I'm looking forward to Indiana State University's decision on their next president and continuing to work with all of our university. They've been strong partners. Rose Holman just announced last month a new innovation center with a surgery center and a partnership with the Union Hospital on our east side, right? Another area of town that is just really exploding in terms of growth potential. So we've got Rose, we've got ISU, you've got St. Mary of the Woods hitting record enrollment numbers, and you've got Ivy Tech, which is just the pulse of workforce development right now. And this is a great time to be a mayor in Terre Haute because we have strong partnerships with our universities, with the business community, and of course, with fellow elected officials at the county, state, and federal level.
Yeah, I mean, I asked the same with Kerry Thompson in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. How important is that town and gown? I don't think people understand how much a big university has on the city and the city on the university.
Well, let's look at a tangible example, right? You put 8,000 to 9,000 people inside the Holman Center for a basketball game. They need to park, they need to eat, they need to safely be able to walk, right? Pedestrian safety is very important. And you want to make sure you have clean and safe streets as well. That type of nucleus for economic development as a driver in your community is huge. Of course, you know, IU, it's at a larger level. You're packing the Rock Memorial Stadium, right? At West Lafayette, another example of a much larger university. But at ISU, it's a strong economic driver in a city like Terre Haute as well.
Nicer weather. My goodness, yesterday could not have been a better day for the eclipse.
It was great. We were very fortunate.
Goodness. Yeah.
The weather was 75 and sunny. But with nicer weather, you do see an increase in street paving. So we got to wait through the winter, through the rainy season, and you'll see us transition from away from coal patch potholes to more permanent long-term fixes. In our community crossing grant program, we released that in January, what streets we'll be improving, And our target date is to have all that finished by July. And then the next step is to start looking at the 2025, 2026, 2027 budget. Looking at incoming casino dollars, motor vehicle highway tax dollars, of course, and the community crossing grant increasing from $1 to $1.5 million. And so we're going to take all these factors in and say, how do we apply a data-driven approach to not just roads, but sidewalks? We have neighborhoods right now that aren't connected to the nearest grocery store or the nearest park or the nearest school, right? So those are three compounding factors that hurt these neighborhoods that we want to see grow or continue to develop. So we take a data-driven approach. We rate all of our streets on a scale of 1 to 5. And we'll take that same mindset and apply it to sidewalks so we can sequentially tackle the neighborhoods that need them either updated or added first. We'll apply this also to our long-term control plan and our stormwater upgrades and say, hey, when we break the ground, can we do a sidewalk, utility improvement, and stormwater improvement all at once? So that way it's a packaged approach.
Digital infrastructure too?
It is, yeah. A great example is our companies like Joink and Frontier, right? Moving towards that fiber optic conversation. So working with utilities. And you know, we had to do some necessary updates to our right-of-way, right? Whether it's right-of-way fees or right-of-way enforcement. When you do work in a city right-of-way, what's the standards that we hold folks to? The next step for us, because we really focused on underground, is above ground. Utility poles, or when utility poles aren't needed, how do those conversations go with our utilities?
So other big news since we've last talked, the casino resort yes. is open. What are the first impressions? What are you hearing? It's been a week or two now.
It is. So we're getting close to that week mark, and the Eclipse bringing in a lot of folks from out of town. So they've been saying, hey, it's really clean. It's really safe. It's a good location because a lot did come off of the interstate. Of course, when it comes to State Road 46 and Interstate 70, we are going to start looking at what are the necessary infrastructure improvements for traffic and pedestrian safety. Is that Margaret, then New Margaret, then Poplar, and then Fruit Ridge? Or what's the correct order there? So the engineering department, they've been looking at this problem set, especially since I came into office, of how do we map out our major thoroughfares and the improvements out there.
Yeah, that was, I wanted to follow up on that. Traffic, is that an issue right now? Getting in and out, parking, is there other infrastructure issues that...
So in terms of parking, I always say this, you never build a parking lot for just the numbers on the first day, right? So of course the parking lot's full because it was the opening day of the casino. Now, when it comes to other infrastructure, we are looking at some of the roads that were put in that didn't have sidewalks too. Other nearby hotels or apartment complexes. So we've got to do a better job of connecting our assets in a community like Terre Haute. One, it helps the businesses there, but two, it helps folks who own some of the commercial properties out there increase the value and increase that want and need for development because we have infrastructure that's set in place for them to thrive and grow.
So the location is not downtown. Mm-hmm. It's a good, 5-10 minute drive from the downtown. Everything at the casino is there, food, drink, entertainment. Mm-hmm. How do you bring people to say, yeah, you're coming to the casino, but stop on downtown?
Part of it is marketing, right? How do you market to folks inside of the casino and driving into the casino? The second part is wayfinding, right? So do we have proper signage that's driving folks across our community, not just off exit 11 to a casino? We worked with NDOT for casino signage coming off of 46 and the interstate, but what we really need to keep doing as a community is looking at this wayfinding conversation of how we keep folks within our community. And then the last part is when we bring in these events, whether it's a convention center, a large event at the casino, or an NIT basketball game, synchronizing all of that together through the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which we've got a great working relationship with.
I see you were with dozens of mayors in Indianapolis talk about what housing, revitalization, TIF districts. Tell us a little bit about what that was and what you got out of it.
So one, it's a great time to see what people are doing right and wrong. It's a very candid group to be around because they'll be up front and direct and say, hey, I tried this. It's not working. What do you guys recommend? So a lot of the mayors are looking at how to better utilize TIF funds, how to tackle the housing problem that is not, it's not a Terre Haute problem. It's a statewide problem, and it's a good one to have because companies are wanting to invest in the Hoosier State. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we go there and there quite literally is no political party because every mayor is having the same problems in a lot of these communities. And it's that local government conversation with state and federal government. Okay, how do we come together to bring a solution to the state house instead of just problem identification? Always good to see mayors like Joe Yoakum and Vincennes, J.D. Wilson and Sullivan, and of course, Kerry Thompson in Bloomington and Stephanie Terry in Evansville, because you just get to, you know, you pick up new ideas, new funding opportunities as well. So just a good group to be around.
What's coming up, city council, any ordinances, anything you're working on?
So we're actually starting to remove some stoplights. When we found that we have a couple extra stoplights in town. So we're going to look to remove some, actually, and keep traffic moving instead of sitting idle. We also are going to look to appropriate the rest of the American Rescue Plan funds. We've got a big project that we'd like to get across the goal line with Indiana American Water, which is bringing that utility to neighborhoods that are still on well water. So having those conversations later this year, we'll start our building code and building permit kind of double check, you know, line by line through the city ordinances. And there's a lot there that hasn't been touched in decades. So how do you eat an elephant, right? One chunk at a time. And I've been fortunate to have a good relationship with the council and working with them. And a lot of folks want a lot of change, but it's not going to happen overnight, right? So just sequentially tackling it day by day.
So with about 1 minute left, I always like to leave it to you. Any special announcements or anything else that maybe I missed?
I'll be doing a State of the City in June, and part of that State of the City, about June 18th, there's going to be a focus on casino funds and how they can impact quality of life. There are some big projects that we're looking at, and here's a hint, along the river and parks, because those are the types of areas in town that with strong, very detailed and organized funding, we can revitalize something like a YMCA.
So, I mean, obviously the casino just opened a week ago, but what is the projected time frame that the city, county will start seeing those funds?
We're looking at the fourth quarter of this calendar year. We do stay in conversations with DLGF, of course, and State Board of Accounts. And, you know, it just depends. Some days I feel like I get a different answer than I got yesterday. So that's kind of more of a 2025 conversation that we really look at. And then, of course, you know, it's about that time for property taxes done through the county's assessor office and the county offices. So we'll get those numbers here soon.
All right. Thank you so much for having us. We'll see you next month.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
okay.
to it.